She requested nothing but what she was advised. A The Locked Tomb fanwork, written by Galactic Whale and read by Wilfriede0815. Written and recorded as a treat for K-Burb for the Purim Gifts Exchange 2026. Summary. Gideon and Harrow have always understood each other through constant fighting and bickering. Purim at Kanan House is no exception. Holidays were only endurable in Dreber on account of Gideon avoiding as many as humanly possible. She spent them invariably hanging out in her cell, kicking packets of porridge, or doing a gadrillion push-ups, or practicing with her sword if she thought she could get away with it. As a last resort, she might hide away in the most remote corner she could find, with the dirtiest magazine she could find, to distract herself from the boredom and the occasional idle thoughts of turning off the oxygen. In Kanan House, she did not have so many enticing options. Her robes were heavy and impractical to move in with any kind of stealth or speed. They were the priests of the first who always seemed to turn up around any obscure corner the moment you settled into its obscurity. There was Harrow, in her gloomy robes and reproving glare, tracking her every move. Though she only ever appeared suddenly, to immediately make an equally abrupt dramatic exit. How did she always know where to find Gideon, but was herself never able to be found? Thus, Gideon did not have her usual advantage of having mapped out every single nook and cranny of her surroundings, and so was forced by the hateful little skeleton spymaker. Surely those were Harrow's extra eyes, though Gideon had never successfully spotted any, to participate in today's celebrations. Woe and agony! In place of her usual piles of lace, Harrow wore a white sheet she seemingly brought all the way to the first for this holiday specifically. Purim, Gideon thought, though she never paid much mind to the rattlings and goings-on of Dreber when she could help it. Something about obscuring one's identity and reading some ancient parchment. Not flimsy, or leather, or even paper, but something even more special, apparently. Sometimes there was a treat with the meal that day, but slightly tastier water wasn't worth being glared at by every decrepit corpse of the Ninth, living or dead, or coming under the eerie blind gaze of the shitty great-aunts. And once the Lord and Lady had met their mummified end, and then their shoddily reanimated afterlife, Gideon had withdrawn into herself further, and avoided almost everyone anyway. On this Purim morning, Gideon paced their absurdly bright rooms, feeling even stranger than usual in ill-fitting lace that smelled of the crypts. She tried to argue for her basic training outfit. No one will recognize me without 15 layers of gloomy textiles. But Harrow had just held her down under a single bony elbow until Gideon was forced to capitulate. Now Harrow glared at her in silence, as though Gideon looking as awkwardly as she felt was a personal insult to the tomb itself. She stood still and stiff as the tomb, too. "So," said Gideon, hoping something helpful to say would come if she stretched the syllable out far enough. "Why?" Her eyes fell on Harrow's seething glare, dagger slits in her face surrounded by the usual ghastly alabaster paint and black char, the same that itched across Gideon's own cheeks and made her eyes water. Wasn't Purim about looking different? This was the holiday on which Gideon had affected a limp and talked like a Glamonith at one point, and had been beaten near an inch of her life for it. She had meant it as a compliment. Her eyes had watered from the pain, and now they watered from the paint, but Harrow's face looked the same as her usual stickly self. "Why do I have to look like this?" Gideon gestured. "And you're just done up like normal. I mean, I look ridiculous, and that's saying something, but at least I get that it's different for Purim." Harrow snapped. "Purim, you dolt!" But Gideon took no notice. "Shouldn't you also look more ridiculous than usual? You're practically boring." She gave an affected yawn. Harrow simply tutted, like she was chiding a child. "Don't be ridiculous, Griddle. I would never wear the Skuller's face on any other occasion. Of course this obscures my identity. Anything further?" Her lip curled, and Gideon's heart raced. Stupid Harrow and her stupid sneering lip. "And I would not be upholding the honor of our house, which we will be lucky if you do not entirely besmirch before the night is over. You have mussed your hair again. Hold still." By this time, Gideon ducked out of the way before Harrow could get her sharp skeletal fingers into her scalp. A brief chase around the apartment ensued. Gideon's daily workouts had her leaping over the furniture with ease, while Harrow was very quickly wheezing. Gideon jabbed her in the ribs as she went by, then quickly backed up out of reach. Moments later, Gideon realized her mistake as she was wrestled to the ground by multiple skeletons, until Hera was stood above her once more, eyes narrowed critically as she bullied Gideon's hair into whatever shape she considered presentable, before hissing,
"Now behave, you imbecile! I will not have you destroying our reputation by revealing us as the only house to bring a bumbling buffoon in place of a competent cavalier. Do you understand?"
Then she twisted Gideon's ear until she yelled,
"Yes, I understand! God damn it! Can you be normal for one day in your entire miserable life?"
And scrambled to her feet, locking eyes and panting. Hera turned away, with indifference written every line of her body. In her tarnished mirror, she touched up a face that looked exactly like every other face Gideon had ever seen her wear. Except Gideon, eyes sharp to any weakness her enemy may reveal, noticed something she couldn't remember ever having seen before. Hera's hand shook, just the slightest amount, clenched around the soft pad she used for applying her paints. Her shoulders shook too. Gideon sneered.
Yeah, I know this is all hilarious for you. You don't need to be so obvious about it. For the first time in my entire life, there are new people around, and here you are, controlling my every damn word and move as per usual.
Gideon paused. Something was wrong. Something sudden and violent twisted through her chest, making her knees wobble and something uncomfortable rise in her throat. Her eyes started watering, and she blinked rapidly. They must have kicked up a lot of dust running around the apartment earlier, though they'd been living here for weeks now. Huh. But Hera didn't turn, or snap, or jibe, or retort, or do anything, except stand there, shaking, silently. This wasn't amusement. She'd never waited so long to go into some new diatribe. This wasn't anger either. No finger pointed Gideon's way, no twisted lips and bare teeth and a hint of blood beginning to dribble from Hera's nose as she summoned all of her wrath. Gideon's stomach plummeted to her feet, and to her great annoyance, her voice shook slightly as she said, Harrow. The damn shakes were catching. No response. This was weird. Gideon was freaked out by weird. There was nothing to anticipate or prepare for. They were entirely in uncharted territory now. Harrow. She took a ginger step forward, laid a hand on Harrow's shoulder and turned her around to face her. Hera flinched slightly, but Gideon was more astounded at the sight of her face. Eyes screwed shut, face paint tracks wriggling down her cheeks and running over lips that too trembled, before gently dripping off her chin into shadow. Gideon's mind went entirely blank for a moment, like a flimsy suddenly wiped clean. Then she looked at each piece of this tableau on its own, fitting them together like puzzle pieces.
"Nonna Jessimus," she said. Entirely nonplussed. "Are you crying?"
The response was sudden and swift, Hera's tiny bony fists pattering against her chest, so ineffectual that Gideon was surprised her wrists didn't break. But then, the ninth did know their bones. She realized the ringing in her ears was clarifying into Hera yelling,
"I have not a single ally on this forsaken planet. It is difficult to be brilliant all of the time, and you lout, you shrieking infant! I know you hold no love for me or my house, but you are indebted. You are of the ninth, and you will represent our traditions with honor. I will not have the other houses see us as some backwater cult. I will not allow the fifth and the third to wipe out our heritage and our mission since Anastasia herself built us somewhere safe to be as we are. They already look down upon us, and you will not mess this up, you.
And to Gideon's utter confoundment, Hera collapsed into her arms and sobbed. Gideon lifted her arm and lowered it down on Hera's back a few times, trying to understand. Hera was showing weakness. Proud, insufferable Nonna Jessimus was weeping in her arms? Because they fought about what to wear to their Purim event? She gripped Hera by the upper arms, moving her half a pace back, and leaned down slightly to meet her beady little eyes. Hera. She reached forward and flicked her right between the eyes, which finally caused Hera to start and blink and gather herself.
"What, Griddle?"
Gideon, not knowing what to do with her arms, ran a hand through her hair.
"You're being weird. You're scaring me."
Hera stared at her in minor stupefaction.
I'm scaring you? The entire Ninth, which you may not care about, but for which I am solely responsible, relies on the impression we make here for our survival. You may be perfectly happy for our house to be subsumed into another and lose everything we have, everything that makes us who we are, but that day would be a tragedy akin to losing the one laid buried inside the tomb, would be akin to the day the Emperor dies, and all I have to uphold us is my pride and my useless replacement of a shitty cavalier. If you care nothing for the house, what reason could you possibly have to be afraid?
The silence between them was so still, Gideon could hear water dripping from somewhere further back in the room, and the light rattle of the bones by the entrance adding to the ambience.
You, she stammered, are afraid?
Harrow screamed in frustration. A brief scream, but all the same.
Yes, Griddle, she paused. Gideon.
Gideon felt a strange rush of warmth well up in her, a distraction as she scrambled to make sense of this enigma wrapped in darkness, who stood before her as she had hundreds of times before, because something was different this time.
You actually care about the house. It's not an act. It actually matters to you.
Harrow gave her a withering stare, but it didn't have the usual effect, as though repelled by the odd warmth surging in her chest.
Yes, Gideon, she said. It is in fact everything to me. Why did you think we were here?
For reasons she could not comprehend, Gideon stepped forward and flung her arms around Harrow, perhaps trying to immobilize her from doing anything untoward. Harrow stood stock still for a split second, and then began to writhe intensely.
Let me go, Griddle. What is wrong with you?
Harrow was just starting to elongate her bone earring when Gideon unexpectedly found herself releasing Harrow and blurting, Okay, okay. Fix your face and then do whatever you want to me. Harrow eyed her as if not knowing what to expect either, this fight having changed the script entirely from their usual routine.
That's it?